Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Oh, Mark, did you know the WWE are being investigated in Orlando, Orange County, as a COVID hotspot?
Yeah.
In Amway and Full Sail.
They love a bit of publicity.
I mean, the reality... Republican conventions...
WWE is basically a Republican convention, isn't it? By the time this one goes out, will there be a new president?
I don't know. Well, no, because it doesn't start. Oh, we'll know it's coming, but yeah. We'll know he's getting all of his tasteless memorabilia out of the Oval Office.
I'm sure everyone who's heard the result is going, yes, but yeah, well, there won't be a new president for another. I don't know. The reality is, do we need to change this up?
What do you mean, as in?
Well, I like to think of us as being the sort of bad boys of wrestling podcasting.
Yeah, okay.
So we've demonstrated that by during the Trump era being very left-wing.
Yeah.
Very sort of like, you know, decent.
Yes.
Now we've got Biden in, possibly.
Mark, I mean, I know everyone's very excited about the exit polls and the early voting and stuff, but I wouldn't count any chickens.
No. Do you know what? I think the last 4 years of voting have taught me that. Yes. Sometimes the things that I want aren't necessarily in line with the rest of the country.
Yeah, people seem to talk a good game, don't they?
Don't they?
But when they're in the little box where no one can see what they're doing, dirty little Tories. Oh, dirty little secret Tories.
Absolutely. It's funny. I suppose that's because people aren't ashamed to say that they vote for Labour or left-wing party or the Greens. Mm. People aren't afraid of that. You know, no one lies about that.
Yeah.
But I think...
apart from Lee Hurst. Is it Lee Hurst?
I think people lie about voting Tory. So then they go, yes, I'm quite made up my mind. And you go, oh, that's good. That's not definitely a Tory. You know, if you don't say I vote Labour, then as far as I'm concerned, whatever you say... I think you're a Tory.
Yes. I'm fairly certain that, even if you say Libs, very much.
Well, you know.
I think I've voted Green this time. Sorry. Yeah,
okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
So you're voting Lib Dem, so what's wrong with Labour? Because isn't Labour mainly the best bits of the Lib Dem things? Well, I mean, you're certainly entitled to Tory.
When that Marcus Rashford thing was going out and in the middle of a pandemic where everyone's dying, no one's got a track and trace app. Everyone's fucked, absolutely fucked financially, socially. No one could see anyone. YouGov, Tories up to 2 points.
Isn't it?
Go fuck yourself, UK. Go fuck yourself.
I'm what I would call a muscular liberal, in that I'm like a right winger, but I'm a right winger about liberal things. So, like intolerance. If I see people being intolerant, I do become very intolerant. Mm. But one of the the only thing I agree with the Tories about is the Marcus Rashford thing. Imagine. No, I just wanted to say that because it felt daring.
Naughty. Naughty Mark. Naughty
I think
Mark.
He's a hero. I mean, I know that's not a controversial statement.
No, but it's genuinely
so worth
exciting.
Saying,
there's
isn't
very
it?
Few important footballers. Is there really? Very few kind of people who use their wealth and fame for good.
Yeah, I think he's slightly transcended the footballer part of it now. Yes. It's like, he's a living saint. He also occasionally plays football.
But it's a living saint. What's he done? He wanted not kids to starve in a first world economic power.
So far.
It's like, what the fuck?
Have we fallen so far?
Oh, my days.
Do you know what? If I was in Mansfield, all I'd say as well is I wouldn't vote for that prick. I don't know if you've seen him. He is he's a piece of work.
Yeah.
I imagine he's the sort of person as well who would listen to a wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
He's a relatively young bloke.
You ever been to Mansfield?
I have, yes. Yeah.
Richard Bacon's from Mansfield.
Yeah, that's right.
My ex-girlfriend was from Mansfield. Yeah. There's a lot of flags up there. A lot of flags.
Oh, yeah. The 90s. You know, the people of Mansfield, if you want to be represented by that person, I mean, you know, that's... there's an easy way to change it, isn't there?
If you are, I would like to know how many people in Mansfield right now are listening to this podcast.
Yeah, if you are from Mansfield...
Give us an email.
Yeah, do.
shortwrestlemepod.com.
I imagine, yeah, again, it's a little act of rebellion, isn't it?
Yeah.
You listen to it.
I just need to know you're not all nightmare people. coming from an ex-Labour stronghold of Newcastle, Highbull.
Yeah.
I support Newcastle. Goodbye.
Right, let's try and do one match. I tell you what, it is a bit annoying because this match is a very long match. But we are talking about Wrestle Kingdom 11. This dates from the 4th of January 2017. They are in the Tokyo Dome. What a beautiful venue for wrestling.
What a venue. It's usually a baseball place. And I've yet to dirty my boots in that place. But at a time where I can't visit Japan, and I'm averaging, as I hurtle towards my 40s, twice a year nowadays. Yeah. And it's expensive. And I know I shouldn't keep on going back, but it just keeps every time. I just want to be in Shibuya and I just want to stand in the crossing. And I know it's just Leicester Square. I know it's shit. But I just want to sit there and go, oh, yes.
It is.
I can buy pop everywhere.
It is. I mean, I've been there with you. It's the only time I've been. And it is a unique place in that it is like nowhere else on earth. Mm. It is everything that you think it's going to be is exactly that.
Yep.
And it is sort of much better in that, oh, it's much, much cleaner and everyone's much, much more sort of, you know, friendly. And
people frequently sort of go, Pete's a bit weird for going back all the time. Pete is weird. But then they never say that if they've been.
No, really true. I find it all, like it's almost for me like a bit of a hallucination that I feel like I sort of go, I can picture.
A lot of jet lag as well, to be fair.
Well, it is, isn't it? But you've never ever been so far away from everyone that you know.
Yeah.
You're a long way away.
Because we went to Korea for a few days. We did about 4 or 5 days there and then went to Japan for about a week and a half. So we were in a situation where we had experienced Korea. And I would say that I wasn't as into Korea as I was in Japan.
Yeah.
But I did go back to Korea. I had a lovely time. And I Korea, Taiwan, China, I need to spend more time there. But Japan just will always pull me in.
There's something so magic about it. Mm. It is a bit like, and I know this is a very derogatory thing to say, it's a bit like a theme park in that you just sort of go, everything is so perfectly done. Mm. So much attention to detail they've done here, you know, in every detail.
They've got respect for themselves and their environment, and they don't, invariably don't enjoy foreigners being there.
No, although we actually,
we had a lovely time, and man to man, person to person, they are lovely.
Do you remember we went past a window?
Socially, politically, they are very big into Japanese ethnic superiority.
Yeah.
This is the whole COVID
Japanese
thing.
Japanese exceptionalism in the same way that we have British exceptionalism.
Yes. We don't think we're ethnically, probably because we're getting our asses kicked by it, but probably because our figures are terrible, but we don't genuinely think that if we got COVID, we wouldn't tell anyone because that would be terribly, terribly gauche, and no one would ever trust me again because I've got such a weak constitution that I'll get ill from COVID. And also, they think that genuinely the Japanese are the super prison. They can't get COVID. That's why their figures are so low.
Do you remember that night when we were going through, and it was one of the first nights we were in Japan? It was like a port town.
Right.
It began with N, and I can't remember which one it was. It wasn't Nagoya, was it?
Maybe we flew into Fukuoka? I can't
Fukuoka,
remember.
Fukuoka, I think we did. Fukuoka, right. And we were walking past just down a little road, and we could hear music coming from a place.
Mm.
And we thought, is it a bar? Mm. I don't know. And so I think we rang the bell. And a bloke came down and we said, is it a bar? And he said, no, it's a private house. He said, why don't you come up for a drink?
Mm.
And do you remember, they just played their music for us and they were really super nice. And they, you know, we had a lot to drink and it was just that. I mean, that was delightful.
Yeah.
It feels, I mean, again, it just all feels like a dream. It feels like a mad dream. But honestly, seeing the Tokyo Dome here, one thing, you know, really hits you here is crowds.
Mm.
And you just go, God, to actually just be part of a crowd again.
Yes.
You know, not anxious about the person next to you, but just going, this is normal, of course.
Yeah.
For 2,000 years, it fucking has. It's only recently. And I when we were in Japan, I did go to the Tokyo Dome, and I went there solely to see the Tokyo Dome. Mm. In the same way that I was overjoyed to see the LA Auditorium in Los Angeles at the start of this year, there is something for me about going to see those venues that you've seen a million times on little tapes. And again, part of that thing about Japan, you can't really do it so much in America because America is America and everyone speaks English. It lacks it. Mm. But going on a pilgrimage to the Tokyo Dome in some way seems like an acceptable way to spend an afternoon.
Definitely.
It looks incredible. The way that they've lit the ring is they really sort of don't have that thing of going, we want everyone to see the size of the crowd. Mm. The size of the crowd in this is not huge, I must admit. They've got
they seem quite spread out.
Yeah,
the banks of seats seem quite spread out.
They were boasting and sort of boasting, but they were saying they definitely wanted a crowd of about 30,000,
right.
Which in America, I mean that is a third of a big WrestleMania, really. What you've got here is a crowd of 26,192.
Right.
So that does seem quite small.
Yeah, I don't know what the actual baseball kind of thing, but I don't know how far it went back because again, you didn't really see a lot of them.
No, I mean one of the things that they've done in recent years is because there is such demand. Tickets and spaces. They've actually now put Wrestle Kingdom over two nights.
Right.
I imagine the same people go both nights.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to miss out on something,
but
do you?
It's like when you do podcasts sometimes and you do an hour and a half record and then you go, there's no way I'm putting that out because that took us ages. We'll chop it in two, 45 minutes, and I'll release the other one
Bang.
In 2 days' time.
Yeah.
Double the ad.
The thing is, we never do because we always record too long and then we'll go, I'll just put that out. And then the next episode will be much shorter. And then we're like, we should have just leveled it out, but it would take too much cerebral.
I love it when you
now.
Say it will take too much cerebral
thingy.
And then everything just shut down. It probably
my brain goes, Pete's trying to, the little numbskulls that live in my brain, like in the Dandy books, they're going, Peter is saying cerebral, let's really mug him off by making him unable to use his words.
Let's start kicking the little one that controls the thought pattern. Doof, doof.
Awful, awful man. Why am I even here? Continue, Mark.
We start with, this actually didn't make it onto the pay-per-view, but this is one that they'd sort of, again, it's a slightly sort of, before the pay-per-view stream, or the streaming thing, you would be able to watch this for free. Mm. And this is the New Japan Rumble. It's become a bit of a tradition, much like the sort of Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. Yeah. That, I think, does that predate the New Japan Rumble? Certainly it's around about the same time, if not actually ahead of New Japan. But what they do here is they have participants entering at 1 minute intervals, and they're eliminated not just by being thrown over the top rope, but by pinfall or submission. And what this match does is it's like the Andre the Giant one. It's a way of getting everyone onto the card and getting a payday. And, you know, you get to see, for example, Jushin Liger, who is in this match, which sort of seems astonishing, but once you've seen the rest of the card, you're like, yeah, well, why would you have put him anywhere else?
He's not in his 60s.
they use this to some degree for a bit of like comedy and a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And it works when it works absolutely perfectly. This is a thing they should be doing with the Andre the Giant thing, although because they don't have those individual entrances, you know, you wouldn't really bring Hacksaw Jim Duggan back and he's just in the middle of the whole thing and you're like, somewhere in there is Hacksaw Jim Duggan. What this works really nicely as is it's a way of them just going, we are going to let you see some people that you wouldn't expect to see from our illustrious history, and they will come out and they will have fun and they won't be humiliated. It's just a really, really nice way of doing it. So the first person who comes out is Michael Elgin.
Yes, the boy Michael Elgin is the, I don't know what version you were listening to, but you certainly suggested to me to watch a certain feed. It was in Russian.
Yeah.
But they were talking over the top of the Japanese, which is really distracting.
I'd actually suggested that one to you before.
Or maybe it was
I
over the American.
Watched it.
So what was happening was, it was the American.
Yep.
Over the top of the Japanese, and then on the top of that, I believe,
was a Russian who had done his own thing, and this wasn't like an official feed. This was a guy just going, oh, I'll do this with my Russian friends.
Yeah.
I mean, good on him, but it was a pain. So you then had to join New Japan World so that you
and
could
go through.
And
I've just remembered now that I'm still a member, and I need to cut myself out of that.
Did you watch it in Japanese or English?
I watched it in English.
Yeah.
So I managed to see that. But I just like the fact that in this match, he was described the boy.
The boy.
Yeah. like, he doesn't look like a boy.
I'm going to say to you, one of the things that again, is a dickhead purist move, is when you get the chance, have a watch of that main event just with the Japanese commentary. Mm. The Japanese commentary, which I do not speak Japanese at all. I know you are quite advanced.
Words. No, I'm not. I know three words, Mark.
That is very advanced. listen to it in the Japanese. It does become a thing that enhances it for some reason. Just listening to the sort of cadence and the ups and downs of it, it really makes it feel exciting.
Yeah.
And the American commentary can be a bit sort of like, we are obviously squeezed into, I mean, they are at ringside quite a lot, but you slightly get the impression that they are freelancers brought in to do the commentary. They don't have the same investment.
And they're actually a bit, I mean, they know what they're talking about, but they're a bit kind of like, this is a little bit beneath, this is a bit of a joke, this is a bit fun. Trying to put stuff, they do loads of Roppongi jokes as discussed in the last episode.
It's Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino, and both of them are very, very good, but I think they come from that background where the commentary that they're doing isn't like at the WWE sell it, get it over level. What it's at is an independent level, independent or indie level, where what they're doing is trying to be entertaining, and they're talking really to a very small crowd
who know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
And they don't need everything explained.
They don't need that. But I think with something like New Japan, what you want is, you don't really want sort of people being entertaining over it. I just want, this was actually then divided up, and bizarrely, New Japan managed to get a small TV deal in the States.
Right.
And it was revoiced by Jim Ross and Josh Barnett, the MMA fighter. And that commentary is much, much better. Mm. Even though Jim Ross has no idea who any of the Japanese people are, and just continually wants to tell you he doesn't know any of the names. They're hard to say.
Yeah.
But that's better. The
thing is, though, the thing that people don't understand and will repeatedly joyously tell you, they will be really excited about the fact that they can't announce they're really simple.
Yeah.
Every Japanese syllable is said the exact same way every single fucking time.
It is.
You don't have to sort of revoice it. Just look at what it says, read it out, and say it repeatedly until it's in your fucking head.
Absolutely. The one thing that is funny about Japan in wrestling terms is certainly at the top of the card, what you have is a lot of people, they don't tend to change people's names. Mm. So you use your real name.
Yeah.
There are suddenly, in this event, a lot of Tanahashis and a lot of Takahashis.
Yes.
And I think if you got those muddled up, you'd be like, that's fair enough. Mm. But when you're literally sort of looking at stuff and, you can't say, I don't know, Manabu Nakanin. Oh, fuck.
Kunyaki Kobayashi. Kobayashi.
Yeah.
Syllable.
Kunyaki Kobayashi as well is, if you watch wrestling, you know that name as well as you know the strange name. Imagine the first time you see the word Cena.
Yeah.
C-E-N-A. You go Kenna.
Well, how would the Japanese say Hulk Hogan? Hodoku Hogan.
Japanese, interesting thing about Jushin Liger, for example. So Jushin Thunder Liger. Liger, like the cross between a lion and a tiger. Mm. Liger is a very, very difficult word for the Japanese to say, because it doesn't really exist, does it, in the rest of the sort of the speech patterns. For many, many years, when he first appeared in all the wrestling magazines, they called him Jushin Ryger.
Right,
And they called him that because whenever they talked to their Japanese stringer, they would say, we've got Jushin
Ryger.
So they would just write down the R. Liger is quite interesting that he chose a name that can't really be said.
Have Tiger. Just have Tiger. It's fine.
Or Jushin Thunder Lion Tiger.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's still got the L. I did very badly there.
Lion.
So Michael Elgin, out he comes. He is a US-based independent wrestler. He'd spoken in his career when he was at Ring of Honor how much he one day wanted to go to New Japan. Mm. And he was really sort of mocked for it. Just going, what, you and Japan?
Yeah.
They're like, Japan, you have to be really good to go to. And he was sort of like, it was treated as a big joke, but Ring of Honor had a working relationship with New Japan. He went to do the G1 tournament in Japan in 2015. When his name was in there, people were like, oh my God. What a fucking disaster. And he did really well, and he really got over with the Japanese crowd. Nice fuck you to everyone who knows better.
Yeah.
He had the last laugh. Things are not so good for him at the moment, unfortunately. He's been working for Impact Wrestling since about 2019. He's had some sort of shoulder problems, he's been off and everything. But his contract with Impact was terminated after allegations surfaced against him as part of the Speaking Out movement, which happened earlier this year. And earlier this month, he announced he was going into rehab for self-medicating with pain medication, which he'd basically been doing throughout his career, he said. So it's an annoying thing. I would like to mess around with seeing Michael Elgin and, talk about his silly coat and things like that.
Yeah.
But then when you sort of go, okay, his life is, I feel I have to mention it, but at the same time, it brings the mood right down.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's move on to number two, Billy Gunn.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Out he comes. The single Attitude Era star who has seemingly suffered the least damage over the years, either physically or mentally. He's not supposed to be very bright. He seems to be a lovely guy. No thinking, no worries, no problems. Just out he comes.
Get out he goes.
It's worth mentioning, he's also the world's tallest man, isn't he?
Really?
He's like a foot taller than Michael Elgin. Yeah.
Yeah, he's certainly taller than Cheeseburger, who comes out later on.
Yeah. But what a way, Pete, to kick off your first Japanese show. Michael Elgin versus Billy Gunn. Couldn't be any stranger, could it?
So, presumably, like, people who sort of knew these two wrestlers must be like, what the fuck is, like, watching this. On pay-per-view, what the fuck is going on?
It was a bit weird.
I said that New Japan was weird. I thought Japan was weird, but
yeah,
I wasn't expecting this.
It was a bit weird. I mean, I think slightly there is the thing here where New Japan are going, international people might be watching, so let's put these guys in. It is a strange one. The first New Japan star who then comes out is Bone Soldier. The commentators, they just begin in the English version, they just start calling him Smuggler. They've really got no sort of clue as to what's going on. It's the Smuggler. Really poor. This is the bit where they titter about Roppongi and they talk about like buying Afghan there. Mm. And it's really sort of, they be. It's like, oh, fuck it. So, you know, you're having a joke about smoking marijuana, which is for babies. Not the drug, but the joke. But it's also that thing about going, I'd be very fucking careful about having marijuana in Roppongi.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is a absolute deportation.
I've been searched by a policeman in Roppongi.
Have you?
He was asking what pills I had on me. To be fair, I probably had more pills than the average man because I had stomach tablets.
You got stomach tablets and an inhaler.
Yes.
I bet they would have torn that apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you get bothered a lot, don't you?
Say again?
Do you get bothered a lot as a Westerner?
Yeah. No, in Roppongi, I think they're used to kind of, I think there's just jobs where they just go on at Roppongi and just bother some foreigners.
I do think the Japanese believe that the Westerners are very, very off their head all the time. it's a strange one. Bone Soldier is one of the very few terrible Japanese gimmicks that New Japan sort of half-heartedly sort of tried to work out. This guy was previously Captain New Japan, who I think you may have seen before.
Lovely.
On something.
Right.
He's sort of like Captain America, but he's Captain New Japan. I mean, the name really does
they
say
do like
it
a
all.
Mascot, don't they, I suppose? The Japanese.
Big suck-up company stooge. Imagine being given the gimmick of being
Mr.
Captain
WWE.
Oh, my God, it's so... I'm Lord WWE! Just people spitting at you. The Bone Soldier gimmick, nobody really knew what it was. Nobody liked it. It was actually voted Wrestling Observer's worst gimmick of 2016, the year before. I mean, it didn't seem that bad. It's a mask.
Oh, it's all right. I don't mind that.
Yeah, I mean, the Smugglers would have been better. but this would be Bone Soldier's last appearance. He would leave the company just 2 months after this.
Oh, what did he go on to do?
I believe he just went and laid in a pit. But the other Bone Soldiers, I don't know. He has seemingly seemed to disappear. he has disappeared. I actually can't remember his name either. But right. I mean, what an awful epitaph for a career. A man,
big fight at the start.
A man saying, I've done all this research. And you go, what's his name? And you go, no idea. And we just move on to Cheeseburger.
Now, I like Cheeseburger. I want to see more of Cheeseburger, please.
Yeah, Cheeseburger was a Ring of Honor star brought over the previous year for this same Battle Royale.
Right.
And he got over really well in it because the Japanese like novelty.
Yeah.
And he was a very small man who was trying very hard.
5'8", let's make that very clear. Exactly my height.
Yoink, he's not very that small. Jeez, yeah. Oh, he looks tiny in that thing. When you stick him against Billy Gunn, working that out, that makes Billy Gunn probably around 9.5 feet tall. That's my basic maths on it. Cheeseburger, one of those sort of funny things where in Japan, they go, oh, we like that. But no one in Japan goes, if they like it, why don't we start making him... Like, you can watch 20-minute matches with him.
Yes.
They're like, no. They like him, but do you know how they like him? They like him here.
Yes.
So he can do this for a bit. It'll be fine. You know what? He can get to the end.
Yeah.
And they go, will he win? They go, of course he fucking won't. Look at him. So it's all done very sensibly. The Japanese are like, oh, well, you know, that's nice. He might do well. Mm. I don't think anyone in the audience is going, I would like to see him win. WWE, he would win.
He would win, yeah.
He would win handily. fifth person out, Jushin Thunder Liger, the legend. I'm going to talk a tiny bit about him on the Patreon that we have. And I'm not doing that to be snide and go, you should get a Patreon, which you should. it's just because I'm doing so many in this.
Yeah.
That anymore, you're just sick in your hands. then outcoming number six, looking like the boss from one of those Yakuza video games.
Yes.
In fact, Yakuza 6 does feature a lot of people in this WrestleMania Kingdom.
Is that true?
11,
that true?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I think Naito, Tanahashi, Okada, and Toru Yano, I think they're all in it.
I think there was a, I think it was Yakuza, yeah. I think one of the Yakuza games, one bloke who also voiced the, is it Sven or Yen, the snowman in Frozen?
Olaf.
Olaf. Well, that's just Sven.
Sven Yen.
He used to live next to me in Halls. French block, 17, younger, couldn't drink. It was weird. He's beautiful, beautiful man. Anyway, he voiced, I think, a guy in Yakuza, but also he did Olaf in Frozen, and he was caught with cocaine. And obviously, Disney, not allowed to do that anymore. Yakuza got revoiced, I think.
Aww,
so there you go.
Poor baby.
Poor little naughty.
He comes to what? Kuniaki Kobayashi, who does look like he's got that lovely thing of you go, he could only have been a Japanese guy either involved in crime or physical sports.
He looks like one of those kind of teddy boys that dance in Yoyogi Park.
Doesn't he?
He looks like a greaser from the 50s. He's 61.
61.
61.
Blimey. He feuded with the original and the second Tiger Mask in the 1980s. One of the key opponents of the first Tiger Mask with Black Tiger, Mark Rollerball Rocco.
Yes,
Dynamite Kid, and Kuniaki Kobayashi was the other one. He was also the inventor of the Fisherman Suplex, which is better known as the Perfect Plex, the one that Mr. Perfect does as a finisher. He invents that. He does it in this match. He just quickly does it. Everyone goes, hey, that's all you want. It's magic. He was also the first ever opponent for Jushin Thunder Liger when he came out with his new gimmick and costume. So he's a lot of firsts that Kuniaki Kobayashi gets to do. He had retired about 10 years before, but he did carry on working in the New Japan Dojo. So he's sort of relatively fighting fit. He does miss a couple of key spots in this, but I love that sort of cameo.
Yeah,
I would love to see in WWE at WrestleMania, they do something nicely like this, where they bring back people who retired 10 years ago and they get to come out and they just get to have a little bit of a last.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pop.
Yeah.
A little bit of that sweet nectar that they had to give up. At number seven, out comes Tiger Mask 4.
Yes.
The enemy of Kuniaki Kobayashi have come back. Also known as the worst Tiger Mask.
Oh, why is it the worst?
Well, because the other three are properly legendary.
Right.
So the first one was a guy called Satoru Sayama, and he was, you know, he is the man who made this gimmick.
Mm.
The second one was Mitsuharu Misawa, and Misawa went on to become one of the four heavenly kings.
Mm.
So under his own name, he had an absolute unbelievable run of Hall of Fame matches.
Mm.
The third one was Koji Kanemoto, who was a very good mid-90s guy, sort of light heavyweight under his own name. This guy does not have a name because he's Tiger Mask 4. They don't have his identity published, which right. I do like. But he has actually competed as Tiger Mask since 1995. Which makes him the longest serving Tiger Mask. Yeah.
When they choose a new one, do they do like the flame and the
yep,
and the smoke?
They do. And they sing I Want to Be a Man Cub, because that's the secret of the flame for the tiger.
Yeah.
It's so confusing. So much lore. And out of the chimney, what appears, Pete?
What?
I don't know. I was thinking. Okay, I was really hoping you were going to say something funny. Like that Pope has the white smoke.
Yeah.
The tiger. It's.
It's tiger milk.
Good.
A spurt of tiger
milk. Is that tiger milk? Is that tiger milk? I notice you're selling it and a lot of it. At number eight comes Manabu Nakanishi. He is wearing a t-shirt that says Monster Morning.
Yes.
Do you want to know what a Monster Morning is?
Yes,
do
I would.
Do you want me to show you what a Monster Morning is?
Is he morning? Has he just spelt morning wrong and he's there was a monster that died?
No, in 2015, he posted a picture of his breakfast on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely fucking huge. It was the biggest breakfast you've ever seen in your life. Consisted of two giant salads, ham, sausage, kaboka, which is a Japanese pumpkin. Is that kabocha?
Right, okay.
Kabocha.
I don't know.
Lotus root, a rice omelette, croquettes, multiple plates of fruit, and roughly an entire bag of bread rolls.
Holy moly.
I do like that as a measuring thing. An entire bag.
Yeah.
How big is the bag?
Well, doesn't matter.
It's just an entire bag of bread rolls. Having basically put that up and got a really big response for it, he just began continually putting up pictures of his breakfast. And I know that's a sort of like Instagram, oh, it's your lunch. Oh, did you take pictures of your lunch?
Yeah.
His breakfasts are amazing. Yeah. They are so big. They're also, again, because it's Japan, you know what it's like, that sort of buffet thing that you get where some things are sort of Western influence, but slightly odd. So you get a lot of Frankfurters, a lot of strange egg sort of, they've tried to go, these are scrambled and they're just odd. But his is all just like a proper traditional Japanese breakfast. And it always looks absolutely fantastic. Let's go at Heston Blumenthal. But that made him quite a big star, just having a big breakfast. He was an Olympic wrestler in 1992. I think he came 11th overall.
Mm.
And he wrestled until earlier this year. So he'd been around a long career.
Mm.
He also had a stint in WCW in 1995 to 1996.
Oh.
Just a strange... He comes out and he hasn't got a lot of personality. And you wouldn't think anything of it until you know about his big breakfast. And the fact he was in Atlanta for a year. It's just really strange sort of life that wrestlers have. Number nine is Funky Weapon, who is Taguchi. He is a popular light heavyweight. His best moments really in tag teams.
Right. He does a lot of moves with his bum, I noticed. He enjoyed that.
That is the Funky Weapon.
That's the Funky Weapon.
Is
bum.
His bottom.
Right.
He's a very good wrestler, a good light heavyweight guy.
Mm.
One of those slight guys that whenever I see when he comes out, when they kind of go into his opponent and he comes out, I'm a bit like, oh, I find him a little bit boring. But they gave him lots of sort of comedy gimmicks. He dresses up.
Dressle me, Mark.
Dressle me, Pete. He dresses up as a sort of rugby player. And then this Funky Weapon thing, he would wear sort of like star-shaped disco glasses.
And he'd
just shake his rump a lot. I mean, it's a strange one. Japanese comedy is quite broad, you know, and he seems a sort of a very light comedy character for me. It's enough, but I don't want any more. Don't want any more. Number 10 is Yoshitatsu. He is the former WWE star Yoshitatsu.
Right.
He was a WWE signing. He did not have a good run in WWE. He got sort of wasted very quickly, and really it destroyed his career in Japan as well. He never recovered to the level that he was at before he went to WWE. He has sort of disappeared again. He also had his neck broken by AJ Styles, who gave him a Styles Clash, and Styles Clash is the one move apparently that you don't, like most moves, tuck in your chin to protect yourself. The one where you have to not tuck in your chin.
Oh, okay.
To protect yourself. If you,
you
tuck in your chin,
happening.
Yeah, you will land on your head. And that's what happened to Yoshitatsu.
Right.
I would say AJ Styles shouldn't have invented one move which circumvents the one rule in wrestling. That you're like, remember, always tuck your chin, apart from there's one. There is one exception. What's that? Don't worry about it. I'm sure you won't face him. You'll be fine.
Was that the guy? Was this the guy? I've had a big breakfast. I'm sleepy.
We've just done like 604 moves. Is the 605th going to be the one that
I have? The one I get paralyzed for.
Oh, no. Stupid AJ. Number 11 is Blue Thunder Yuji Nagata. He's a long-term main eventer from the sort of late 90s, maybe even the mid-90s. Past his prime, but still one of those guys. New Japan has a really nice way of a lot of people. So Yuji Nagata, you could see him on cards even earlier this year. They don't humiliate people as they get older.
Yeah.
They might have them struggle to win. They might not win as often, but they give them a sort of very graceful way out. They're never humiliated, the New Japan stars. And so Yuji Nagata here and Hiroshi Tenzan, who comes out after, they're guys who have had long Hall of Fame careers, and they've gone, do you know what? We're not going to have them in the top mix or anything, but the fans love them. They have given this industry a lot, and we will keep on using them. And just there's such a sense of respect that comes with their wrestlers that I really sort of think all the stuff we've seen and all the sort of like human debris that has been left in the wake of their career in wrestling.
Mm.
And you do sort of watch Japan and go, oh, they seem to treat
people right.
Yeah, and those people keep giving back to the company, and that's good for everyone. A moral lesson there. Out comes Hiro Saito at number 13 again. He looks properly like a bloke who's just been pulled out of a pub, and you've gone, we're one short, man.
Yeah.
Can you stick on
Get
the jacket
involved,
and go in?
Yeah, yeah.
And in he runs. And the final person is Scott Norton, who is an American performer. He was a former IWGP champion in the very early 90s and a member of the NWO in WCW in the mid-90s when it got much too big. He had been gone for a long, long time, but he was a big star at the time. You know, right. Probably first three, four Westerners to hold the IWGP championship. Certainly since post 87. I'm going to add that in so that nobody writes in when it became a proper belt. They are delighted to see him. He is amazingly unchanged by time, and they let him have some fun. And so it's just a really sweet, it comes down to Michael Elgin and Cheeseburger. Again, they have that. This only happens because New Japan, they don't really care about this match. They have a basic thing, which is going, let's get Michael Elgin over.
Yeah.
He's done well for us. You know, we'll make him look strong. And it comes down to Cheeseburger because they're not that bothered, because this is a fun match and Michael Elgin can win it. So why have him do a big hard bit at the end when everyone's having so much fun? So you give him Cheeseburger, he squashes Cheeseburger, looks all the more impressive doing it. And it's a great start. It's a great start. You also get with Cheeseburger, rather than a thing where you get two guys hitting each other and one of them just scrapes it, with Cheeseburger, you can just go, just throw him around. And it will be spectacular. Just throw that guy around and you will look a million bucks. And that's how it ends. When they've done these before, they haven't always worked. There have been some really terrible battle royals. And I forgot that the year before, I thought it might be this one, and I have my fingers crossed. I think we did see an appearance from Haku.
Really?
Yeah, he popped back in. It might have been this one, or it may have been the year after. We'll find out. I'm going to go home and watch it. It's not like I've watched, I would say, 9 hours of wrestling in the last day. It's going to be great.
I enjoyed that Scott Norton, when they have to change music for copyright purposes or, you know, licensing agreements, with Scott Norton, they did say at the top of the screen, the music has been altered due to licensing restrictions. And you're like, good, do that everywhere.
Yeah,
because then we're not confused.
Yes, yeah, they did have a lot that are just blaring stuff. I mean, it's a funny one because it's a bit like the Sandman in ECW, where he has that Metallica song, and they would sort of license it for one live show, and then on the network you don't have it, and you lose all the impact of it. There are some people here who have like iconic Japanese wrestling songs, and as soon as it goes, and you're watching it here, they've lost them because they're sort of Japanese pop songs or anything. It's a real shame. Some people take it really, really badly. It's a bit like taking out Star Wars' music just for Britain.
Yeah.
And having an umpire band. We've managed one match. Pete, have you got another one in you?
I've got another one in me.
Go on then. Let's have officially match one of the pay-per-view. Tiger Mask W versus Tiger the Dark.
The animation match.
The animation. The promotional match.
The promotional match. I've no idea what that means. I'm not really sure.
New series of an anime was debuting called Tiger Mask W.
Yes.
Tiger Mask, the original wrestler, was based on an anime.
Yes.
And so obviously there's a wrestling theme that runs through Tiger Mask, the animation. So they brought out two wrestlers to take part in a sort of...
Confusing.
I mean, we would never... Would we see Tiger Mask W again? I think he did a couple more matches.
Mm.
In this case, the guy under the mask as Tiger Mask is Kota Ibushi. And Kota Ibushi was the hottest free agent in the world.
Yeah.
People were crying out for him to join New Japan. They were so excited. And he couldn't agree on it. So he ended up doing this weird sort of promotional match.
Right.
He's taking on the American performer, ACH. Who, if you're a Patreon, you'll have read the newsletter many months ago that talked about his leaving WWE when they referred to him as, well, it was over a T-shirt that was certainly had racial connotations
right.
with his character. A character called Jordan Miles, who was pictured as a huge, great smile, which...
He
took, absolutely acceptable umbrage to. Great wrestler. I mean, Kota Ibushi is, oddly, could be, at this point, you know, one of the greatest wrestlers in the world.
Mm.
And he is on in a little thing where he's pretending to be, what, Scooby-Doo. Just really strange.
Well, Tiger the Dark, I think the design of the mask is a little bit furries. You know the furries who want to fuck each other dressed as...
It's a little bit,
I've clicked on too many things on the internet and now I'm watching Peter Griffin fuck his daughter. It's a bit like, oh no, he's one of those sex people.
Yeah, it's the slightly long hair.
Yeah,
that they've stuck on as well is a bit sort of, I don't know, it's a bit extra, and that makes me kind of go, it's not been designed very well, so therefore it's been done by an amateur. But they look, you know, they have a good match. It's fine.
This one's fine.
Yeah.
This whole show is obviously respected, and it starts to get very hot very quickly, and you before you know it, you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing in the world. This is the best thing in the world. Tiger Mask W is also accompanied by a PE teacher. She just looks like a PE teacher, Mark. Some random woman. Hello.
She does a wonderful... there's one of the voiceover artists is there and they sort of show a shot of her. And there's just that thing of... It's only Japanese people who have the ability to look bashful. So she knows that she's coming out and she's in front of all these people.
Yeah.
And she sits down at ringside. Someone comes over with a camera and she goes, oh, I'm shy. Just amazing. There's a point to be made about this match, which is, I think, in any other show, this could have been one of the best matches you've ever seen.
Mm.
You know, certainly, you know, most cards you go, that was the best match. On this... It is by far the worst match.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
It
was fine.
It's incredible. Kota Ibushi would go on to sign, and you can see that this is, you know, it's just so strange that you turn up and you're like, they must have been like, you can basically be in whatever match you want.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not ready to sign yet. But I tell you what I will do. I'm going to put on this hat. Just really strange. Match number two, the IWGP Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks. Matt and Nick Jackson versus Roppongi Vice, Rocky Romero and Trent Barretta. The Bucks.
The Bucks. We've seen the Bucks.
Have we seen the Bucks?
We've seen the Bucks together.
Oh, we've seen them in real
life. We've seen them in real life.
Yes. Have you seen the Bucks on WrestleMe?
No, we haven't.
No, this is the first time. What was Peter's reaction to the Bucks?
I very much enjoyed them. I enjoyed them when we saw them in real life. And yeah, I liked, very much one of the Bucks being forced into doing a socket with his arms,
yes.
with someone controlling his arms. But they were great. They were endlessly excellent. And I loved everyone. I think the one thing that kind of sets the show apart from anything else is the English speakers just speaking all the way through. And it adds such a dimension that you didn't have before.
Mm.
And I've got way more respect from some of the people I've seen before wrestle. How good they are when they're just doing their talky talks.
Yeah. It's I haven't actually asked you. I suddenly thought, what did you think of this?
What do you mean? As in the whole
because,
thing?
Yeah, the whole thing, you know, because this is your first proper long Japanese wrestling thing. I know you've seen clips and we've done odd matches and things.
Yeah.
Did you find this watchable? Have you got
I drank a glass of wine and I watched it and it was bloody great. I really enjoyed it. But it sort of gets, I'm trying to think whereabouts it, I think I wrote down, Like, I think it might be match 8 where I'm like, fuck, this is just, it is Hiroki Goto and Katsuyoshi Shibata. Just absolutely going for it. I was like, you know, the whole thing, there was very few matches over like 17 minutes.
Mm.
And then there was only one that was to hit 25. So like, it was just pure. No promos, no bullshit, just in the ring. People fucking about. I loved it.
There is something amazing about New Japan, about how you look at a card like this, and they haven't just gone, oh, this match does this, this match does that. They've gone, what happens from the first match till the last?
Yeah.
How do we orchestrate this to build to a pitch? Mm. And you're absolutely right. You get that thing. And I think it's, you can see it replicated, not just in the event, but you can see it replicated. And that's a great match to, you know, that's 100% the match that I would use for this analogy, the Goto and Shibata one. The build, you start going, this is all right, but, you know, it's okay. And there comes a moment where you go, fuck it, a switch has flicked here. And I'm actually now quite into this. And then you're going, this is a fever pitch.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that can be replicated over the actual card.
Mm.
What you get here with the Bucks is a bit of sort of like fun. You know, one of the things that they're criticized for, and they are a uniquely important act in modern wrestling. The reason for that being, they represented an entirely new breed of pro wrestler. So they started in the backyards. They didn't have any sort of family connections. They didn't go to a big well-known wrestling school. They didn't get snapped up by, you know, the WWE feeder system or anything like that. What they started doing was they just started working to a point where they became the most in-demand wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
And they never did that through having mainstream exposure. The brief bits of mainstream exposure they had, things like TNA, they had a run 2009 to 2011, did them more damage. They made a name for themselves entirely by turning up at every indie event that they were booked at and putting on the best match on the card.
Right.
And they just, they managed to make something new under the sun, not because of the way they wrestled in the ring, which was pretty unique. It was the way that they marketed themselves. And what they did was they made themselves like an empire based on the merchandise that they put out.
Mm.
And that merchandise enabled them to turn down offers that other wrestlers at that position would have had to take and been ruined. And so it was a new business model that they brought into wrestling, which is as important as anything they ever did in the ring. They became this sort of successful self-employed talent that could go anywhere that would pay their price. And then they would also make 5 or 6 times as much by selling their merch.
Yeah.
And so they just became in demand and totally, totally independent.
Mm.
They're like Bruiser Brody, but they've got 12,000 t-shirts in a van, right? It did change the way that independent wrestlers worked. And that is fascinating. I'm fascinated with stuff like that. I really am. I had a look at some of the figures, and there was a point where Hot Topic, which is a US sort of clothing, like a bit like Topshop.
Mm. But a bit more gothy.
Yeah, they do t-shirts, but basically. They did a deal with Pro Wrestling Tees, and they put in a load of Bullet Club t-shirts, Jericho t-shirts, Young Bucks t-shirts, things like that. The Bullet Club t-shirts, in 4 months, they sold, just through Hot Topic, 500,000 t-shirts.
Bloody hell.
In the same period, Young Bucks t-shirts, they sold 100,000. Mm. So they were working at this unbelievable level of merch. They were controversial. They are controversial within wrestling, because what they lack is the thing that Japan, you would think they would need the most, and that is ring psychology. So, I'm not here to say the Young Bucks need to change their act. I'm just saying the big criticism against them was always that they were spot monkeys. They do spectacular moves. They'd be straight back up. There was no sort of lasting effect.
Yeah.
You didn't have that thing of building a match. You just kept on piling the great moves on after great move after great move after great move.
Mm.
Then it would end spectacularly. And people were going, that's not wrestling. That is wrestling, because wrestling can be whatever people want it to be.
And also, spot monkey, great name for a wrestler.
Yeah.
The spot monkey.
Will Ospreay and Ricochet, of course, in that Best of Super Juniors thing. That was exactly the criticism that was levelled against them. It was wrong. It will always
be
wrong.
That match was spectacular.
Yeah. And what you get here is you get, you know, a great match. The Bucks have always been a hot act. You know, again, this is probably not the time to talk about them. I'd almost like to do a proper indie show where we talk about them. This is them in New Japan, and they are just, you know, huge. They're part of Bullet Club.
Mm.
You know, they are big stars. Rocky Romero is on the other team, and Rocky Romero I love. So he was a guy who made his name in junior heavyweight tag team championship matches and teams within New Japan. And he was basically too small to have succeeded in the US during his prime. Had he come along 5-10 years later, he probably would have been a massive indie star. Mm. I think he was just a little bit too small. He found that niche in Japan and did really, really well. The Japanese took him to their hearts. He was one of the earliest American wrestlers who could speak Japanese,
right?
From his generation. Mm. And so, you know, he really got over with that. He worked as a talent liaison as well with the US, with the US sort of talent. Mm. He was a spotter. And so a lot of the huge success that New Japan had, you can really sort of put at the feet of Rocky Romero, certainly when it came to bringing in people like, you know, the Bucks and well, Cody, I suppose. You know, it's a great little match. It's exactly everything you want from one of those junior tag team matches where everyone is just working flat out.
Yeah. Well, what is it? Beretta and Rocky Romero, the Roppongi Vice, obviously, yeah. Duo. Are they on the side of good or are they police or pimps? I can't tell.
Oh,
are they are they making the Vice or are they stopping
they
the Vice?
Very much making the Vice.
The making the
yeah.
Vice.
Yeah, Rocky
right,
Romero wears a horrible sort of dirty chinchilla coat and it's all this sort of disgusting popping sort of Roppongi. But yes, they were very much that sort of. I think what they were pretty much was a proper stereotype of the Westerner who went to Roppongi.
Right, okay.
That sort of thing. Yeah. So they were sleazy and disrespectful.
Dirty boys.
Yes. Mm. Bad little boys. Bad little boys banned from Roppongi. but again, a classic sort of, you know, New Japan, just simple match. It doesn't outstay its welcome. It's all action.
Yeah.
That's also the difference with New Japan and WWE. These are all action.
Yeah,
you don't get people
about.
messing about. Look, you know, just lying on the floor, talking to the crowd.
Giving the commentators time to go, oh, he's been snapped in half. And
yeah.
Oh, this is terrible. What's going to happen to his family?
Yeah, exactly. They just go, do you know what? Have four people there and just chuck them at each other. It'd be fucking brilliant. Oh, it's so, so refreshing. Yeah, I mean, I should say, I actually love the matches of the Young Bucks. Mm. I would always watch a Young Bucks match. Mm. And I know, you know, people are snooty about them are very much like, you know, well, they're all the same. Well, do you know what?
What are they all the same?
Macaroni cheese. And I will eat as much of that as you can give me.
If macaroni cheese is on the menu, I am eating it every time.
Do you know what?
Frankly.
Do you know what? I actually can't remember the last time, even when I've had bad macaroni cheese, I've been like,
it's still good.
Still good.
Even that stuff that Americans have where it comes out all dried and you put hot water in it and you mix it up. It's beautiful.
It's fine.
What's that about?
It's fine. You know what it is? You know, it's like love, isn't it, right? You know, and you're like, yeah, the real thing is great, but do you know what? Even if it's not real, you paid for it and it's synthetic and strange. Still fine.
You're Roppongi now,
still
mate.
Better than not
with
having
the
Roppongi, it.
With Beretta and Rocky Romero.
Roppongi.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go to Roppongi and make love to a massive macaroni cheese. Get deported.
That man's putting little macaroni cheese up his winky. Wrestle Kingdom 11. We'll be back with more of this next week, if that's
you
right with you. But if you
it.
Want to hear it right now, if you want to hear what happens with the Bullet Club and, I don't know, Bush Evil and Sonada and David Finlay and Ricochet and Satoshi Kojima.
I imagine there's no one out there who's like, I'm looking forward to hearing about David Finlay. But you know, he's good. So, you know, check your privilege.
Yeah, exactly. Head on over to patreon.com/wrestlemeet and you can listen to what happens next right now.
Roppongi me, Peter!
Roppongi me, Mark!
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to Amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.